Next on BYUSN, it's game day eve for Cougar football. As the 14th-ranked BYU Cougars head to Tempe to play number 21 Arizona State. We'll discuss the keys to victory in a game of fill in the blank. Former quarterback Max Hall will preview what BYU needs to do to bounce back from the loss to Kansas and win on the road.
Hey, with BYU in the hunt for a spot in the Big 12 championship game and the college football playoff, we will roll out our weekend rootables to help the Cougars. And we'll preview the NCAA cross-country national championships with the head coach of the men's team, Ed Eystone.
Welcome to a game day eve edition of BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is the always fun "Hey, I'm alone in the studio" shot on Friday, November 22nd. I'm Jerem Jordan. He is a man who might run into Charles Barkley or perhaps Michael Wilbon in Arizona. He is Spencer Linton, live from Tempe in Mountain America Stadium.
Jerem, it's good to be with you. You're never alone. Even though you are kind of alone in studio on that desk, you're never alone on the show. I'm here with you, brother, and I'll keep an eye out for Charles Barkley. Hey, Kenny, I think BYU looks really good this weekend.
That impersonation is terrible. No, I'm just kidding. Birds overhead. You're like 10 minutes away from Sky Harbor. All show. It's no garbage cans or porta-potties behind you, I guess.
Well, Jerem, this is the flyover conference, right?
We didn't know it included top 10 market Phoenix.
Hey, vibes are good, man. Listen, you look at the history of BYU football on the road as an underdog, all of the national pundits saying the BYU is fraudulent. They have thrived in this scenario. I think the vibes are immaculate with how much hate, if you will, BYU is getting in their capability of winning this game. I could not be more thrilled for this whole setup.
Well, a lot of positivity coming out yesterday when SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey put out this graphic, basically strength of schedule. He looked at ESPN, Massey, Sagarin, averaged them. It's Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, Texas, all these SEC teams, and then BYU. Oh, ho, ho, ho! Ahead of Penn State, Oregon, Ohio State, Miami, SMU, Notre Dame, Boise State, and Indiana. Well, 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 strength of schedule coming to help out BYU right here. Greg Sankey, a powerful voice in the sport, of course. There's no college football commissioner, but if there was one, it might be Greg Sankey. So, hey, that always helps.
So kind of the SEC commissioner to be specifically looking out for BYU, paying no attention
sure
to all of the other SEC teams above BYU, but just for his pure intent to help BYU's resume in that regard. Very kind of him, Jerem.
Moroni asked us to do it, and he did post with pure intent. All rise and shout, it's time for What's Trending.
They're dangerous up front, a lot of physicality to their game.
They'll need to execute the plays that are there. They've got to start with Cam Scatterford.
You know that it's all on the line, that you can feel your destiny.
Nice that we could bust out the VHS tape right there and the music video. That was fun. Spencer, BYU and Arizona State, number 14 versus number 21, Big 12 Conference Championship implications in this one. So let's play a little fill-in-the-blank to preview this game, beginning with the following. BYU needs to hold Cam Scataboo, Arizona State running back, to fill-in-the-blank yards of all-purpose yards.
Jerem, he's been around that 150 mark, if not a little bit over, and not surprisingly, when Cam Scataboo hits his averages or goes above them, Arizona State typically wins. So I think BYU, as a collective unit on defense, they're going to need to figure out how to hold him under those averages combined. So I've set the number at 140. And I don't know, maybe it's 90 yards rushing and 50 yards receiving, whatever. But he's so busy and so involved in that offense. If BYU can limit him and limit the big breakaway, huge chunk play, the one that you're watching on your TV screen right now, can BYU limit the long touchdown run or the long receiving touchdown and make him earn every yard, limit the chunk plays, and keep him at 140 all-purpose yards or fewer? Where do you have that number?
My fill in the blank is, it matters, but it doesn't. He's putting up 169 a game. That's number one in the Big 12. That's third nationally in all-purpose yards because he's such a good receiver. He's top three on Arizona State. He would be top three on BYU's team, too. Last year, I know Arizona State stunk, but he had 190 in a loss at USC. He had 152 in a loss at Cal. This year, he had 177 in a loss to Texas Tech. He also had 108 in the other loss to Cincinnati. So even if he goes for a big number, that doesn't always mean that Arizona State wins. In fact, if you look at carries when he's had 20-plus, they're 6-0. I see the idea of when he had 18 and 17, perhaps they were behind against Cincinnati and Texas Tech, and so they didn't run it as much. But last week had 2.9 yards per carry against Kansas State. They still won. We'd like to think that, hey, you slow down Camp Scataboo, you're going to win. It doesn't always mean that. So I don't know about a number that equals a victory for BYU. To me, there's other factors that go into the game, but certainly if you limit him to, I like your number, 140 or less, like, you got to feel good about it, but doesn't always mean you win.
Yeah, and for me, the 140, it's not more about the number, it's just more about avoiding the huge momentum-shifting play that would light this stadium on fire in favor of Arizona State. Can BYU avoid the huge touchdown run, the long receiving touchdown that helps those numbers significantly? All right, let's go to this, Jerem. How about how specifically BYU and what they need to do to combat Cam Scataboo? Maybe it's schematically. We talked about numbers and approach. Like, how do they combat what he does appropriately?
Contain success rate. So success rate is, are you gaining 50% on first down of the yards available, 70% on second, 100% on third? If you can contain success rate, I think you can get out, right, and force punts, force the other team to get you the ball. As a team, ASU, thanks to Cam Scataboo and Sam Levitt, their ability to run, throw the ball, 19th in offensive success rate rushing. So, at 46%, they're very good at it. So can BYU contain the success rate? I like the big play idea from you as well, of course. But if you can limit him, because if it's 3rd and 8 and you give up 6 yards, 6 yards per carry in that rush, well, it's 4th and 2. And if they're at their own 30, they're going to punt the ball, you would think. That's what it's about for me.
Yeah, if we're talking just like to add to what you're doing there and bringing up, if BYU can be fundamental, he's so good in yards after contact that you need to gang tackle and team tackle and be disciplined and in your gaps now more than ever. Because how often do we see a highlight of Cam Scataboo breaking multiple tackles and then getting to the second level and see you later? Yards after contact are the huge one for me here. So can BYU be disciplined in their ability to tackle him? They're going to attack the gaps for sure, but you have to limit him after those contact plays because his contact balance is elite for sure.
Yeah, he's awesome, man. It's going to be fun. He's got this tick where he kind of shakes his head after rushes. It's like, are you okay, man? It's just a thing he does, kind of like Mike Tyson biting his glove. That was weird. Okay, next one. BYU needs the turnover margin to be blank to win.
They need it to be +1, at worst even, Jerem, because when you look at what BYU has done this year, they are 8-0 when that turnover margin is either even or BYU is winning that. This is why every coach in America points to this specific statistical category, because it is so influential in the game. Can BYU be +1 in the turnover margin? If they are, I believe they will win this game. Arizona State's really good at taking care of the ball, specifically Sam Levitt. Does not make a lot of wild plays. He's just really, really consistent and solid in taking care of the ball and helping Arizona State matriculate the ball down the field with his running back doing the majority of the all-purpose work. So can BYU force that critical turnover and then, like they've done so often this season, turn it into points? BYU got that one turnover from Kansas last week. They couldn't turn it into points. It was a 3-and-out. That's one of the many things that cost BYU that game against the Jayhawks. So I say +1. If you think about all the weird scenarios that BYU's been in this season, Jerem, like close games and really Oklahoma State, BYU won that game but lost the turnover margin, but it took a dramatic comeback. And then even the Utah game, BYU, even though BYU won that, they did have the fourth down stop that Utah was given, which I kind of count as a turnover. Like, more often than not this season, like, the exception is BYU doesn't win the turnover margin and they still win the game. They against Arizona State, you have to win the turnover margin, in my opinion, or BYU will not win this game in a road environment. How do you see it?
Yeah, 1-1 and losing turnover margin, the win you mentioned, Oklahoma State. I think plus one, too. I don't think that number is everything, though, because it depends what you do with said turnovers. What has BYU done best this season? They have gained takeaways, right? They have been great at turning the other team over. They've taken care of the ball. Guess what? Turnover margin overall, Arizona State, the exact same, 0.9, which is top 15 in the country. BYU and Arizona State really good at that. They don't fumble it. They don't throw interceptions. Sam Leavitt has 4 picks all year. Can BYU get a pick on Sam Leavitt? Because BYU's been incredible intercepting opposing offenses. So we'll see what happens, man. If BYU can get a pick or two and cash those in, that could certainly sway a game that it feels pretty even in how these two teams match up.
No question. Just be at least even or plus one, and maybe you have an advantage in the points off those turnovers as you were just talking about. Okay, next fill in the blank here. The best quarterback wide receiver duo in tomorrow's game will be who, Jerem?
Hopefully not Leavitt Tyson, because Retzlaff Roberts needs to be the one, or Lassiter. Okay, Tyson, 58 catches, 833 yards, 9 touchdowns. Those are tremendous numbers. He had a great game last week in the win on the road at Kansas State. Roberts, 42 for 659 and 4 touchdowns. So Jake and Chase slash Darius need to be better than Tyson slash Scadaboo, also a good tight end for Arizona State. So, yeah, that combination is going to be interesting. Like, offensively, if it's a shootout, obviously Roberts and Lassiter need to be big time, and they've had some big moments this year for BYU.
Yeah, what's interesting about this situation is going into the game, if we're talking just a strict duo, we should all expect Sam Leavitt and Jordan Tyson to be the best duo on the field tomorrow because of how much Tyson has done for this offense. And BYU's been a wide receiver committee approach, right? So it's not crazy to say, oh, yeah, tomorrow the best duo on the field, yards-wise, production-wise, could be Sam Leavitt and Jordan Tyson, and BYU still wins the game because BYU set up to attack with the committee approach of Darius Lassiter and Chase Roberts and Keelan Marion. So, yeah, I think Leavitt and Tyson are the best duo, but how does BYU combat that with the committee approach? It's a fascinating scenario to watch. So, yeah, even if Tyson is the most productive receiver, Leavitt's the better quarterback with more yards. I don't think that translates automatically to Arizona State winning the game. Can BYU's committee, as you were just talking about, do enough?
I think that the best duo tomorrow is going to be you and your microphone. That's me. Our poll question of the day is this. On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that BYU will beat Arizona State tomorrow? What are the people saying right now? Right now, we've got the option of on a scale of 1 to 10. 5 to 6 is at 40%. 7 to 8, 35%, and then only 13%, 9 to 10, and 4 or less is 12%. What do you make of those numbers?
Well, I think those are better numbers than what BYU fans were feeling going into the Utah game and even the Kansas game. Like, so take that for what you will. It's interesting. I'm getting the impression that BYU fans are almost feeling more confident because BYU lost the game against Kansas last week as like this reset, refocus, re-engage, harder week of practice. We'll see when BYU shows up tomorrow just what that loss last week did to motivate them in that regard. So I feel like BYU fans, strangely, are maybe more confident in this game than the previous two.
Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Time now for the weekend rootables. Certainly a lot to look at in the Big 12 and nationally for BYU as they try and get to the Big 12 championship game, try and get to the playoff. So we begin with number 16, Colorado at Kansas. Who are you rooting for?
Jerem, this is BYU's insurance policy, and I've been hearing about it all week long on X about Spencer, BYU has to beat Arizona State or it's all. No, there's an insurance policy in place, especially if Kansas beats Colorado. Then things are very favorable to a degree for BYU if, heaven forbid, there's a case where BYU does not beat Arizona State. It is clearly you need to be rooting for Kansas to open things up for BYU as a Big 12 title game insurance policy.
Let's hope that Kansas suffers, or Colorado, suffers the you play Utah, you're 2-7 the next week stat that you brought up. That's a pretty interesting one. So I say go Jayhawks here.
Absolutely. Okay, number 22, Iowa State at Utah. A lot of BYU fans, not surprisingly, torn up about this one. Jerem, where do the fans need to root?
I never actively root for Utah, so I'm rooting for Iowa State to lose. If Iowa State loses, they're kind of out of the run for the Big 12 title hunt. That's what it's all about right now for BYU, is getting to that game. Everything towards that.
Yeah. Yes, tomorrow BYU can clinch a spot, a secure spot in the Big 12 title game if they beat Arizona State and Utah beats Iowa State. Then it's done. Then they're in Dallas.
It's that simple. Okay, Cincinnati at K-State.
I want BYU to have another ranked win on the resume. So I want Kansas State to beat Cincinnati. And that, too, is very simple. Because right now BYU has one ranked win on their college football playoff committee resume. Beat Kansas State, beat Arizona State. Maybe BYU has three ranked wins on the resume when the next poll comes out next Tuesday.
I know Kansas State is down the list a little bit of potential, you know, issue teams with the Big 12 title and tiebreakers and whatnot. But I say Cincinnati because I just want Kansas State out of the race. I'm less concerned about playoff sort of seeding and that, and just like get to the Big 12 title game because there's no at-large chance. So I actually say go Bearcats, which is hard after the women's volleyball match last night.
Interesting. Number 5, Indiana at number 2, Ohio State. Which team are you rooting for here?
I want Ohio State by a million. I want Indiana to look foolish.
Yes.
Because they haven't played anybody, yet they're way up at number 5.
Listen, Ohio State winning big then puts Indiana on blast at a nuclear level. Now everything really has to be addressed. Their lack of strength of schedule, the fact that even though they've been dominating teams, if they get blown out and are embarrassed by Ohio State, then what is on their resume? So, yes, Ohio State by a million.
Number 13, SMU, BYU's best win at Virginia.
Man, I'm a little torn on this one because SMU is now ranked in a better position than BYU. So I don't like that idea because BYU beat them head-to-head, but I'm willing to overlook that. Just make the win as valuable as possible. Like, if SMU is above BYU, then we can all point to the fact that BYU beat SMU head-to-head. So SMU needs to keep winning. I hope they get to the ACC title game.
Me too. I'm very torn because I'm thinking about college football playoff implications, and then I remind myself, nope, none of that matters compared to just Big 12. You got to win and get in, and then whatever happens, happens. I'm not that worried about seeding. I don't think BYU can be that picky. I don't think we can be that picky right now with seeding. Go Mustangs again.
Yes. Okay. Number 19, Army at number 6, Notre Dame. Where is your rooting interest?
Get out of the way, Notre Dame. Go America. Go Army. That way BYU can go ahead of Notre Dame should they continue to win.
Yeah, I say Army needs to win. Yeah, this is for America for sure, Jerem. And I know some people are worried about, well, what if Army jumps BYU then?
They ain't jumping BYU. Strength
they knocked off the number 16. No, exactly. It's not going to happen. I do not see them jumping more than 5 spots. Go Army, beat Notre Dame, get the Irish out of the way. If Notre Dame loses this game, they would have 2 home losses against G5 teams. I'm sorry, but if that is the case, you're out.
There's no
get
way.
Army, out.
There's no way so Army's Army. Winning this game to me, by the way. Notre Dame convincingly, like they had against Navy. Navy, they blew out. I don't know if it's like that, but give me Notre Dame by a bunch. Okay, more coming up with you, Spence. Join us tomorrow where you can watch plenty of Spencer, Dave, Blaine, and the boys get you ready for BYU and Arizona State. 1:30 Eastern on BYU Sports Nation Game Day. Cougar pregame live at the same time on BYU Radio. BYU and Arizona State, 3:30 Eastern on ESPN and BYU Radio. And, of course, postgame coverage on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Up next, he was a Sun Devil turned Coug. Max Hall is on the program to preview tomorrow's top 25 showdown in the desert. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Super Bowl 11, we got to go approach that game like it's the last game of our lives.
I feel like they've got something to prove.
I think BYU, at bare minimum this year, is going to have 10 wins.
The hope is that they can get to the Big 12 title game and have a chance to get to the playoffs. That's what's at stake tomorrow between BYU and Arizona State. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. I am Jerem Jordan in Studio B. He is Spencer Linton in Studio Tempe. I guess that rhymes. Let's bring in our favorite former Arizona State quarterback, the winningest quarterback in BYU history, Maximus Hall, ahead of Gladiator II on the program. Max, what up, dog? How you doing, man?
I'm doing great now that I'm on the show with you guys. It's been a while.
It has been a while. We waited until BYU lost for some reason. I don't know why. No, it's BYU and Arizona State. Tell us about what this game means to people in the Valley, since you live there now and you're from there. Given the history back in the day, obviously in like the 60s in the WAC, and of course they played in the late 90s. They played in 21 in Provo. This is the, in theory, a return game. Now they're in the same leagues. And now they're both ranked and there's Big 12 title implications. Come on, man. This is huge.
This is big time. So, I mean, a lot of people around here, including myself, grew up huge ASU fans. You know, I have family ties to ASU. I went to ASU out of high school before transferring to BYU. There's a lot of, obviously, LDS people down here who kind of root for both teams, right? But the more people I talk to, the more blue I think is going to be in the stadium tomorrow. So I'm excited for it. But it's a big deal, man. And I think, you know, for both teams to be as relevant as they are right now in the season and as good as they are, to meet here and to play, I think it's going to be a fantastic game. I think it's going to be a great crowd. And, you know, just kind of like in that video, this game has a lot of implications for BYU and what's going to happen to them going forward, and especially in the postseason. So I'm looking forward to it, man. You know, it's kind of, I don't know if you guys know this, but I think BYU, we were supposed to play ASU my senior year, and something happened and it didn't work out. So we ended up playing Oklahoma that year, first game. So I was excited to come back to ASU Stadium and play, and I don't get to play, but I'm excited to be there tomorrow.
Max, for the first time this season, BYU is now trying to respond after a loss and a very frustrating home loss to Kansas. You didn't have to deal with this very often because you won so much, but in the few instances that you were trying to bounce back after a loss, what worked well for you in those circumstances, and how would you then translate or give that advice to this BYU team?
In my opinion, the best thing that happens after a loss is the increase of a sense of urgency. Going into the game planning, into the next week's practice, there's more attention to detail, there's more energy. It's almost kind of a reset. And I think that, I mean, that happened to me when I played. We'd have a midseason loss, and we always kind of refocused and recommitted to what we were doing. So it can be a good thing. Obviously, we don't want to lose. And with BYU ranked what they were, and losing that game last week, it hurt. But if they take the positives out of this thing and look at it like, hey, this is an opportunity for us to check ourselves a little bit, fix the things that we need to, and have a higher sense of urgency going into the next game. So if anything, it can do that to a team. And I would expect to see that from BYU tomorrow. I think they need to come out hungry, with a lot of energy and excitement, and kind of eager to put that win from last week behind us and get a quality win over ASU. So I expect BYU to execute. I expect them to manage the game better. I expect them to get stops and turnovers on defense and play BYU football like we've seen all year long.
It's a fun quarterback matchup. Jake Retzlaff for BYU, BYJU as he calls himself. Sam Levitt, who doesn't really turn the ball over. He runs effectively, only thrown four interceptions. A guy whose dad and brother played at BYU, so some ties there. What do you make of this quarterback matchup?
I love it. I mean, I love it when you have two
quarterbacks
like this.
But you don't Levitt, right? You don't Levitt. It's a bad pun.
Levitt? I mean, yeah. Love it. Okay, yeah. I love it. Yeah, sorry. Why are you giving me – oh, geez. Come on, Jared. I'm coming for you, baby. No, I think when you have two quarterbacks like this, you know, going head to head in a game that means a lot for what's going to happen in the postseason at the end of the year, with the type of environment that it's going to be in. You know, my hope is that both quarterbacks will show up and shine in this game. And hopefully it's a high scoring game for us, and the offense can produce and kind of bounce back from what we've seen the last couple weeks. And so I'm excited to watch both of them play.
Max, I'm looking at the turnover margin and how influential it has been in BYU's games that they have won, which have been many. They're 9-1. And then obviously losing the turnover margin last week to Kansas, which ultimately results in a loss. BYU lost the turnover margin against Oklahoma State and needed a miraculous finish to overcome that. So how much weight do you put into BYU on the road and the turnover margin tomorrow in the game between the Cougars and Sun Devils?
I think it's big, because if you look back at some of the key wins that BYU had this year, in those games, there were times where the offense sputtered a little bit, struggled. And if you go back, it was big plays by the defense. It was interceptions, fumble recoveries, turnovers that turned things around. It got the momentum going in our direction, and it seemed that the offense kind of flourished after that. So I think that's big for that. Like I said before, that the BYU defense caused havoc, get turnovers, and put the offense in good situations to score, because I believe that once the offense gets going in these games, it's kind of, they get rolling and there's no stopping them. But sometimes it takes them a little bit to get going. So the defense definitely can help with that. And like I said, in key wins this year, the defense has stepped up and had crucial turnovers to put our offense in situations to score. So I think it's crucial. I think they have to come out and figure out a way how to get the ball back and get it to the offense.
That's a great point, because the last 2.5 games, BYU's really struggled on offense. 3 touchdowns the last 25 drives, only 3 touchdowns in the last 13 red zone opportunities. This offense was awesome for a minute there, Max, where they were scoring between 34 and 41 a game, season low 13 last week. How does this BYU offense sort of jumpstart itself? You mentioned, hey, defense, special teams can help you, but how does the offense itself get that going?
Well, I know with the team I coach right now, we had a kind of a mid-season loss that we felt like we shouldn't have lost. But, you know, kudos to the other team. They showed up and played well. We lost by a game-winning field goal at the end of the game. And for us, we were able to see some of the things that we weren't executing on offense. And for us, it was the same thing. We weren't scoring touchdowns in the red zone, and we weren't converting on crucial third and fourth downs. So when hopefully BYU had a time to reflect this past week and say, hey, these are the points of emphasis that we need going into this game. And that's touchdowns in the red zone. It's scoring after turnovers, and it's taking care of the football and eating up clock, so our defense not on the field all the time. And I think when you refocus on those things and you put the team in situations like that in practice, and you practice it and put emphasis on it, it seems to show up in the game. And so I know for a fact that's what the BYU coaching staff has done to fix those things and hopefully be more efficient with it tomorrow night.
Max, there is a path for BYU to clinch a spot in the Big 12 championship game tomorrow. It obviously requires a win against Arizona State, and then it would require Utah beating Iowa State. So how do you handle that scenario, specifically the second part, emotionally, when a Utah win actually helps BYU?
I might have to change my pick for that game. I didn't know that, Spencer. So here's the thing. You know, bless Utah. I know it's been rough over there a little bit the last couple of weeks, but I kind of like picking Utah now, because I'll take a Utah win if it helps the Cougars. You know what I'm saying? So I guess I'm going to change my pick. I want Utah to win that game, because BYU deserves to be in that championship game.
What a world we live in.
It even better.
Right?
That actually makes it even better if Utah wins to put us into the Big 12 championship. So
they're
now
like, we helped those guys?
A little bit of a Utah fan this weekend.
And then if Utah loses, we can say, hey, this was stolen from us. Yeah, Max, much more coming up with you in the next segment as we do some Big 12 pick'ems. So stay with us for a little bit more. More with Max in a moment. Men's basketball host of Fighting Jerry Rices of Mississippi Valley State coming up tomorrow night, 9 Eastern on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio. No pregame or postgame on BYU TV for that one, FYI. So we'll get you at 9 Eastern on ESPN Plus. Coming up, will the winningest quarterback in BYU history, Max Hall, become the winningest guest picker in show history? His picks are next. He's already changed one. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Ashley Hatch, still our Big 12 pick'em guest on top. She's playing for an NWSL championship coming up this weekend. Silver medalist Kenneth Rooks, and so on and so forth. How will Max Hall do? And where will he be on this board? Will he be up top? Will he have the highest winning percentage? We shall see. We begin with number one, Arizona at TCU. Max, who you got? Then Spence.
I thought U of A was going to have a better season. I really did. I liked what I saw early on, but I just don't think they're playing good enough. I got TCU.
Yeah, I'm with Max. I'm taking TCU all the way. They're a 10.5-point favorite. I think that the Horned Frogs are going to win this game easily.
Horned Frogs ensure a winning record in Big 12 play with the win. They got a lot to play for still. I have TCU as well. Game number two, Texas Tech at Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State hasn't won a conference game yet, Max.
And they're not going to, because Texas Tech is going to beat them. I actually have them beating them by a couple touchdowns. I think they can handle Texas Tech. They're not going to get their win tomorrow.
Yeah, we're in a world where it's very legitimate that Oklahoma State could not win a conference game, which is just insane because they were 3-0 for crying out loud. But now they got to face Tech, and they take on Colorado next week. I'm with Max. I think Tech rolls against Oklahoma State.
BYU at least won two games in Big 12 play last year. Oklahoma State has won none and probably won't win any. Jeez! I go Tech as well, so we're consensus so far. Okay, game number three. Perhaps the most interesting game of the weekend besides BYU Arizona State. Number 16 Colorado at Kansas and Arrowhead.
You know what? This is a tough one. I think Kansas coming off their win against us and hopefully having some momentum, I think gives Colorado a great game. But in the end, I think Colorado pulls it off by a touchdown, so I'm taking Colorado.
I tend to agree that Colorado's going to find a way to make maybe one more play, but this game is so interesting for a number of reasons. Kansas's best players on the field are their defensive backs, and they're matched up with Colorado's best players on the field, their receivers in the pass game. So can't wait to watch that. And then, Jeremy, as you pointed out, teams that play Utah the week after are 2-7.
No, you
Who
told me
Utah
that.
Utah last week? It was Colorado! So can the Buffaloes break that little bit of a jinx and win the week after playing Utah after being beat up physically? But I'm going to lean Colorado here, even though I want Kansas to win that game.
It's Colorado by 2.5 points.
So I
give me Kansas to get the upset, and they knock off Iowa State, BYU, and Colorado in successive weeks. Give me the Jayhawks. Game number four, UCF at West Virginia.
Haven't seen a whole lot of teams, but from the little bit that I do know, I like West Virginia. I think they squeezed one out against UCF.
West Virginia is always tough in Morgantown, but I believe that UCF will find enough offense with some movement they've made on the offensive side of the ball. They'll figure out a way to get RJ Harvey going. I think they're going to make a few plays late and win that game in Morgantown.
I like the Country Roads. They're still mathematically in the Big 12 hunt, and they're playing for a bowl game. Give me the home team, West Virginia. Cincinnati at Kansas State.
You know, I ragged on Kansas State earlier in the season. I did not think they looked good. I didn't think they were gonna have a very good season, but I've kind of grown to like them a little bit more. So I do think that they're gonna beat Cincinnati handily. So I'm taking Kansas State.
I agree with Max. Kansas State over Cincinnati, and just maybe the Wildcats hop back in the top 25 after a convincing win.
I'm gonna take Cincinnati in this one. They've been interesting at times, beating Arizona State earlier this year. Kansas State, they have something to play for, but they didn't look good last week. I don't think they look good again this week. Game number six, Baylor at Houston. BYU plays Houston next week.
I think Baylor beats Houston. I like Houston. I like what they bring to the table. I've seen a couple of their games, but watching Baylor, I just think Baylor has a little bit more to overpower Houston. So I got Baylor by a touchdown.
Houston's been really good at home this year. Yeah, they have beaten Kansas State there. They beat Utah there. I don't think they have enough to handle a Baylor team that's playing much better football. I like Baylor here.
I have Baylor winning as well. They're hot right now. They've won four straight. They've already announced that Dave Aranda's coming back. They've got some momentum there. Game seven, number 22, Iowa State at Utah. Max, we already heard your pick, but tell us again.
You know what? Things change in life, you know, and you got to adapt and adjust. So I originally did have Iowa State winning this game, but I'm hoping Utah takes a little bit of BYU magic with them into this game and pulls off an upset to give us the chance to go to the Big 12 championship. So It's going to be great when Utah does something for BYU to help us get to the championship, and I cannot wait to see it. So I'm rooting for the Utes to beat Iowa State. I can't believe I just said that.
I would love to join you in that regard, but I can't. Like, I want Utah to win this game, Max, but I just don't think they have enough. Iowa State, they're going to win this game in Salt Lake City most likely.
We did Rootables earlier. That's Utah. Who I think is going to win? That's Iowa State.
Yes.
And I think we need to take Max's quote out of context. I love it when Utah helps BYU. I love everything about their fan base and everybody. BYU at Arizona State finishes up. Why is BYU winning this game, Max?
BYU is winning this game. I think it's going to be a great game. I do think it's going to be a close game. But I think BYU wins it because they're hungry after a loss. They know they have a chance to get to the Big 12 championship, and we'll see what happens after that. But I think they come out re-energized, refocused, and hungry to win this game. So I think BYU in the end beats Arizona State. And like I said, I'm an Arizona State fan and will be forever. But I think the Cougs definitely have enough to win this game.
BYU has thrived in that underdog role all year. BYU is unbeaten on the road. They're trying to go unbeaten in a season on the road for the first time since they won the national championship in 1984. They relish this opportunity when most say the Cougars are not going to win. That is why I like BYU. They have all the motivation they need.
Max, your uncle Danny White is not suiting up for Arizona State, according to my research. So I have BYU winning this game. The defense does it for the Cougars. They actually turn over Arizona State three times to get a non-offensive touchdown. How's that for a bold prediction? BYU wins at Arizona State. Max, great stuff. I think we got another all-time quote today.
Yeah, that might have been a mistake, but I had to go with my gut on that one. I want BYU to make it as far as they can this year. And I'm going to look at it from the opposite direction that, hey, this is a great thing that we can either praise Utah for winning or we can blame it on them. So I think it's a win-win for us. So,
yes, it is.
But do not take that quote out of context, okay?
I think it's going to be posted online in any second. Max, thanks for the time, man. Best of luck to your team tonight in the playoffs.
Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate
it. Go Cougs, baby.
Go Cougs. Max Hall on the program. Number 24 women's volleyball trying to bounce back from a disappointing two-point loss in five sets last night to Cincinnati on Senior Day tomorrow, 3 Eastern, taking on West Virginia. Still to come, could it be a national championship weekend? We'll preview cross-country nationals with Ed Eystone from Wisconsin as BYU Sports Nation continues from Provo and Tempe. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. I am Jerem Jordan in Studio B. A quick look at today's headlines. Number 14 BYU football taking on number 21 Arizona State tomorrow. Make sure you catch pregame coverage starting at 1:30 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Cougars in the NFL. Best of luck to Fred Warner and the Niners who play Green Bay with Chris Brooks, Zane Anderson and the Packers. Puka Nacua and the Rams take on the Eagles and the Chiefs with Kingsley Suamati and Reed play against Brady Christensen and the Panthers. Men's hoops taking on Mississippi Valley State tomorrow night. No pre or post game on that one. Catch us on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio at 9 Eastern. Women's hoops trying to get to 6-0 tomorrow. They take on Northern Colorado at 5 Eastern on ESPN Plus. Number one ranked BYU men and women's cross country in Madison, Wisconsin for the NCAA National Championships. Tomorrow, 10:20 a.m. Eastern time on ESPN Plus. The women race, 11:10 a.m. Eastern, the men race. Number 24 women's volleyball lost in five last night to Cincinnati, 15-13. Seventh loss in five sets this year, six of those by just 2 points. BYU looks to bounce back tomorrow at 3 Eastern on ESPN Plus against West Virginia. Good luck to former Cougar Ashley Hatch, whose Washington Spirit team plays the Orlando Pride in the NWSL Championship tomorrow. And men's soccer beat Boston yesterday and Miami of Ohio this morning to get to the National Club quarterfinals. We now welcome in Ed Eystone ahead of NCAA Men's Cross Country National Championships in Madison, Wisconsin. Ed, how you feeling as the number one ranked team going into nationals tomorrow?
Hey, I'm feeling ready to roll. The guys got a chance to run on the course yesterday, which was quite a bit different than today, by the way. We had about 2 inches of snow yesterday that immediately burned off, and we, in our wisdom, chose to run right at the height of the winter advisory. So that was kind of fun. But now the course is, the snow has melted, and it looks like we've got a fast track for tomorrow.
You have mentioned, and so have your guys, that you wanted snow, that you wanted mud in those conditions, because you guys felt like that was an advantage. Unfortunately, it melted away, but you guys got after it. If the conditions aren't great, how is that an advantage to your team?
Well, we felt like it might neutralize some of the talent up front a little bit. But you know what? We're not going to have those snowy conditions. It's going to be fine. And I think our guys are tough. One reason why I felt like the bad conditions might favor our guys is I've had talented teams before. I've had tough talent teams before, but this is a very tough and talented team. And the worse conditions, the tougher you kind of have to be. But you also have to be tough on a good day and in windy conditions against the best competition probably the NCAA has ever had. So I think we're ready to go.
So in many sports, the coach of that team does not participate in the same way. You don't see Kalani Sitake out there running routes or throwing the ball too much. Kevin Young isn't getting jumpers up before a game for basketball. But you ran with the guys yesterday and ran in the snow. You still got it. Running's one of those sports where you can do it for a long time.
Well, to say I was running with the guys is about like saying Kalani was playing football with the guys when he's dead. But no, it's nice to be able to go to kind of check out the course and the conditions of the course. And obviously the conditions yesterday and the snow are a lot different than today. But to get a sense of just the hills and uphills, it's kind of nice to do that as well. That factors into our strategy for tomorrow. And it's fun. You know, running is a lifelong sport. You can go out on the weekend and still get it done. So I'd like to kind of stay in at least a semi condition and certainly running with the guys. We start at the same time. We sometimes end at the same time, but we are not covering the same distance.
Talking to Ed Eystone from Madison, Wisconsin, ahead of NCAA National Championships coming up tomorrow. Ed, the pressure of being number one. Certainly you guys have talked about how Oklahoma State to you is the favorite in this thing, yet the pollster said, hey, BYU's number one. How are you handling the idea that you're expected to win the national championship?
Well, I think more than that level of expectation, I think it's just an acknowledgement from my peers, and it's a compliment from them, recognizing that we have a very good team and that we took down the number one team at the Big 12 championship. I think on paper, all of the pundits that I've been talking to today really are saying, well, Oklahoma State is the giant, and how can you be the giant killer? So I think people recognize that we're going to have to pull another rabbit out of our hats if we're going to take down Oklahoma State tomorrow. But having said that, you know, my guys are, you know, it's a privilege to be in that number one position. It just means that you've gone throughout the season, in our case, undefeated. And, you know, we have one more big mountain to climb, and that's tomorrow. And you just prepare your guys adequately. You realize that you have any number of teams in Oklahoma State, including and Iowa State. Arkansas has a very good squad this year. NAU, I'm never counting them out of the fray. So a very, very good teams out there. And you just want to put your guys out there in a good position for them to execute a good game plan. And if we do all those things, then I think we're going to have a good day.
3 months ago, you went to Wisconsin at pre-nationals and fared very well at that. How did that prepare you for this?
Well, that gave us a chance to run on the course and get familiar with it. That's why we came out. And actually, it was the Nuttycombe race that we came out that was ahead of pre-nationals and won that. And that gave us some a chance to race, to see the course, and take some notes on the course. And since that time, we've been able to, you know, improvise some workouts that have, I think, prepared us for the hills and the placement of the hills and whatnot. That's kind of gotten us a little bit better. And, you know, a lot of uncertainty comes from when you're not aware, you know, fear sometimes comes when you're uncertain of a particular course or whatever. So I think it was important for us to have a good positive racing experience on the course to take away that uncertainty and give us some information. Information is power. We gained some information from running at and winning at the Nuttycombe race. We gained some information from running and winning at the Big 12 championship. And we're going to try to implement all that information tomorrow in a very good race.
If ye are prepared, ye shall not fear, as the scripture says. Big weekend for Casey Klinger, trying to lead this pack. Also, his wife Morgan's expecting their first child coming up Sunday. Is there such thing as like pre-dad strength? Can he summon that somehow?
Well, I think so. And he's prepared himself very adequately. And obviously, this is a great kind of swan song to his cross-country career. You know, he was out last year with a foot injury from surgery and whatnot. And he got himself back in shape late in the spring and was running well enough to get fifth at our U.S. Olympic trials in the 10,000 meters. And that usually bodes well for running well, you know, good 10,000 meters in cross country, but he's facing maybe some of the best competition that we've seen assembled together in one NCAA championship. And so he could have the race of his life and still be battling for a top five or even 10 position. I think he will have the best cross country race of his life. And I hope to see him battling in that lead pack and hopefully being one of the guys making moves late in the race. And yes, there is some dad strength that comes knowing that your wife, and in fact, the team is flying out tomorrow, but he is flying out. We got a special plane to get him on just a couple of hours after the championship so he can be back with his wife Morgan, and they're looking forward to welcoming their first child in the next couple of days.
The Bowers are one of seven, you know, Morgan's one of seven daughters. It's a boy, so I know Danny and Caroline are excited about a boy in the family. Should be a lot of fun. Tell me about the women's team, also ranked number one. Diljit Taylor's got a great squad that is expected to compete for a national title as well.
Yeah, they are ranked number one as well. But I think Coach Taylor does an amazing job getting her people prepared. And I know they're going to come out swinging. I believe she feels like the University of Oregon is probably her top competition. I think that they have some great depth. And as long as they stick their game plan, I think they're going to be in a great position. They run before us. We'd love nothing more than to see them, you know, come across strong and end up with a women's championship. And you know, then we'll hopefully ride that wave of enthusiasm into the men's race as well.
Hopefully it's a national championship of synergy between the two of you tomorrow. Not coupled with men's soccer, there's up to three national titles up for grabs tomorrow. Ed, we appreciate the time. All the BYU Sports Nation karma we can muster sending to Madison, Wisconsin. Best of luck.
Hey, we appreciate that. And go Cougars.
Go Cougs.
We're going to deliver our bet.
Heck yeah.
Thank
Ed
you.
Eystone from Madison, Wisconsin. We appreciate the time. Women's basketball coming up tomorrow afternoon, taking on Northern Colorado. Cougars trying to get to 6-0. They've been pretty good. Delaney Gibb, superstar freshman. If you haven't watched her, check it out. She is a machine. 5 Eastern time tomorrow on ESPN+ and BYU Radio. After the break, we'll put a bow on the show ahead of one of the busiest weekends in Cougar sports all year. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Our poll question today is this. On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that BYU will beat Arizona State tomorrow? The leader in the clubhouse is 5 to 6, 38%, 7 to 8, 35% close, and then 13% is both 4 or less, and 9 to 10. What do you make of those updated numbers, Spence?
I think that's totally fair. I expected probably a 5-6, but compare that to last week where I think, honestly, most BYU fans were like maybe 4 or 5 going into the Utah and Kansas game. So, hey, I'll take the uptick in confidence. I think it's good.
Our elite voice of the day is presented by PAX, Healthcare Elevated at Blaine Huffman 7 on X. A solid 9. Glasker fears no running back. I expect an upgraded level of physicality from both sides of the ball. Go Cougs. It's going to be fun to see that front 7 against Scataboo and Levin in the run game.
Absolutely. I'm just excited to watch all of the matchups that we've been talking about for the last week. Let's get him on the field and play the game already.
I know, right? Well, you got the rest of the day, I guess, and then tomorrow afternoon. Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Let's give it to a Super Saturday, Jerem. And by Super, of course, BYU football involved in that with the game that's going to be played in the stadium behind me against Arizona State This feels like a Big 12 title game elimination scenario. It's more that way for Arizona State than BYU, but needless to say, huge game. Cross country at the national championships and the weather that they love so much, as we just chronicled with Ed Izestone. Men's and women's basketball will play, women's volleyball on senior day, men's soccer, maybe playing for a national championship. Super Saturday, let's go.
Can't wait, man. Our thanks to today's guest, Max Hall, who's somehow rooting for Utah, and Ed Izestone. Started in a spit, we ran out of time.
Conversation continues 24/7 on Instagram, X, TikTok, all of our shows on demand, BYUSN.com.
Spencer, I'm Jeremy. Shout out to Chelsea Goodman. Lots going on tomorrow. We'll see you then. Go Cougs!